from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now.
Preseason is mercifully over, and there's a pretty good break here before we get to week one, at least in the Bills' case. Not a Monday night like last year where it's even longer, but what, 13 days still to go before Arizona and the season opener. Seeing some, you know, minor news around the league, just reports, and in these now 23 hours, I guess, between where we are and the cut deadline, teams using their, you know, their media outlets, their preferred media outlets, to see if maybe a trade can't happen for guys they're planning on releasing. And so reportedly one such player is Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick in Denver has had a couple of season-ending leg injuries, knee injuries maybe. Last year, he went down, I'm not even sure if it was training camp yet. So I'm drafting all the time and trying to find my way to do these sort of deep end, if you will, finds. And he's somebody that doesn't get talked about a lot. He's just a veteran, maybe kind of boring, but it sounded like he was doing well. And now I'm seeing that they're going to try to find him a trade. And also, reportedly, are moving on from Samaje Perine. So maybe a couple of, well, there will be, but specifically these two veteran skill position players could be on the market. You wonder, I think, if the Bills will try again to find somebody to fill out that room. They've made so many efforts to get there at wide receiver, and you know, we never are going to hear them say what they're worried about, but their actions have spoken loudly. Going out for Claypool when they did, and Demir Byrd, Deion Kane, these guys. It's what, like I say every time, it's maybe a sort of a concerning sign, but it's what they should do. And I wonder if they're planning on one or two of these more of these moves after tomorrow. We'll get back to that probably. But first, I want to welcome my guest, Ray Davis, Bills rookie running back here on the Wester Hotline. Ray, I'm Mike Shope. I was a fan of yours in college football. I was excited when you were drafted here and asked for the opportunity to talk to you. I've had an interest. You have a very interesting story to tell, I know, and I'm glad we were able to do this.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Appreciate you for having me on today and just giving me the opportunity to just come on and speak to you.
Happy to, Ray. So how has it gone here these few weeks? Preseason is over. Tell us what kind of an adjustment it's been. I mean, to the pro game, life adjustment, probably playing in the NFL now. What has it been like?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been it's had its ups and downs, you know, in terms of just adjusting to things and enjoying the process. I think it's a lot different from college. As you know, the game's a little bit more faster and just, you know, having to build those routines. So I think that's the thing that I've, you know, loved. That's also been a challenge, just trying to find my routine, trying to find, you know, being myself, being an everyday pro each and every day. So I think that's the exciting part, but the challenging part is once you build that routine, you know, how much can you stick to it? But other than that, it's been really fun, you know, to be able to achieve a dream that I've had for quite some time. And to know that, you know, now it's you're on the big stage with the best people, surrounded by, you know, really good guys. So it's about just going out there and playing your game.
I guess maybe, Ray, it would vary, you know, player to player, whether they would say the adjustment, as you put it, would be harder on the field or off. You know, it might come down somewhat to sort of like what program you were at or programs, or just like sort of what your self-discipline levels might be. How about for you? I mean, the game is faster, like you said. Has it been harder to adjust on the field than off?
No, you know, not at all. I think it's just about, you know, doing that extra work, you know, getting in your playbook, getting in, you know, getting in the film room, just kind of, again, finding those routines of how do you want to become a pro? How do you best see yourself in the next couple of years? And it's about just starting now rather than trying to be on the back end of it and trying to catch up to it.
So what is maybe the hardest part of that? I mean, you've got a schedule, you've got, I mean, so much to tend to when you're trying to make it, you know, rookies are trying to make the roster too, no given, right? So what in particular is something that has been kind of a challenge for you to learn how to do?
You know, not necessarily, you know, just about, again, trying to get ahead of it so that it doesn't become necessarily an issue later down the line of, you know, not again building those good habits.
Good habits, right. So Temple to Vanderbilt to Kentucky, Ray. So what went into maybe the decisions that the two times you transferred were similar, or maybe they weren't? I wonder just like what is that like when you're analyzing where you think you might be best off? Maybe not an easy decision to make.
Yeah, no, you know, it's never an easy decision to leave a school that you know, you built memories with the guys who were there and the coaching staff previously before. You know, for me, the two times I transferred was really just trying to, you know, challenge myself. I think going to Vanderbilt and, you know, understanding the academic degree to have from that, and also how difficult the school is, I think that was something I really wanted to challenge myself. I knew, you know, football was never a thing later down the line, then, you know, I knew I could fall back on that education. So that was definitely a reason why I chose Vanderbilt. And kind of going to Kentucky was just, you know, I wanted to get my swagger back a little bit. You know, I think I was missing the swag that I had of just feeling super confident and having fun and ball. And during my time at Vandy, you know, obviously school was hard. So I was really, really just grinding into school and grinding into ball. I didn't really get to enjoy so much of life. But then when I got to Kentucky, I got to just really, you know, take a deep breath and enjoy playing ball again.
How much, I mean, you've got a season that you're going through and you're in school. How much of your final year in college football, or really all of it, perhaps, Ray, is with the NFL in mind? Like, you're trying to get noticed, you're trying to, you know, get to a point where your draft status improves, but maybe you're not obsessing about that. I don't know. Like, how much of this result is really, you know, or just the idea of being drafted and when is what you're thinking about in college?
Yeah, for me, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I think I know for me, I didn't realize, you know, I really didn't think the NFL was really truly a possibility until this past my 2023 season. You know, in the previous years, I felt like I did all right. I had felt that I probably didn't get noticed enough, but you know, I just was playing ball. And I think, you know, after the Florida game last season and even getting into our last couple games of the season at Kentucky, I think I just started to realize, okay, I think this is a possibility the way I've been playing and just the way I've been having fun playing ball again.
Ray Davis is my guest here on WGR on the Western Hotline. Bulldog is off, and this is Mike Shope. Ray, I have not been able to think of a way, because this is our first conversation, like we haven't met, to think of a way to ask you about growing up that to me doesn't seem trite. So I want to sort of preface this by sharing with you, by telling you, like, it's just kind of what I've heard about your story is pretty incredible. What can you tell fans about sort of your life experience and maybe also what you've learned from it, or what might even help you motivate yourself or just stay grounded or whatever it is, where it comes out in the man you are and the player you are?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing I could definitely say, and something I've been able to now be a part of, is, really just, you know, having mentors, having people there who are there to listen. You know, I had a big brother. I was a part of the Big Brother, Big Sister program when I was younger, and he played a very pivotal point for me just in my life because of, you know, when things were going bad, that was somebody who was consistent in my life. So I think just kind of telling people out there that, you know, understand that, you know, no matter what's put in front of you, you know, it's okay to speak to those who may not be a familiar face. And I think that was my situation growing up, was I didn't really have a lot of family members who, you know, necessarily could be put in the right position to help me succeed. But there were people around me who gave me the care and the love that I needed at a very difficult time. And, you know, just understanding that sometimes, again, people do have heart, and people want to see people succeed. It's just about whether do you want to see yourself succeed or not. And I think that was a lot of my journey growing up with what I was dealt with, was did I want to see myself succeed when others have to, you know, really believe in me.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, you need a certain level of maturity and perspective. And then also, Ray, like, you have to decide to trust the person, right? I mean, that's probably just really hard sometimes. Of course it is, just, you know, living your life, and you have to sort of give in, if you will, to somebody that you don't know that well, but you decide that they have your best intentions in mind, and that can be a wonderful thing.
Sure.
So, yeah, I was reminded to ask you about Big Brothers Big Sisters by a fan of yours who knew you were going to be on the show today, and you spoke at a recent event maybe of theirs, and so it's still something where you're giving back.
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate and blessed to speak at the Global Black Economic Forum, you know, out there in New Orleans. It was something the Essence Fest has been something that's been huge and going on for the past couple of years now. So I was fortunate to be able to represent the Big Brother, Big Sister of America's, just to go out there and just speak about, you know, what I've been through, and, you know, how much of my big brother Patrick was, you know, such a pivotal person for me throughout my time. So it was a great opportunity to go out there and do that. I was happy. I got to experience some things I never got to see and meet people that I'm glad I was able to meet. So, you know, I was announced as a game changer. So, you know, we got a lot more things coming where we want to continue to push out and advocate for those who could use a big brother and big sister, and also convince, you know, people to want to come and join and be a part of this association that, you know, really want to change and be helpful to kids' lives or even anybody who need mentorships.
A few minutes more with Ray Davis here on WGR. So let's go just quickly to the day you were drafted. I mean, that's probably an incredible day for every player who hears their name called, you know, over the course of the weekend. What will you remember about those few days?
You know, we're speaking about my draft day, right? You're saying,
yeah.
Man, that day was it was filled with a lot of thrills and chills and just, you know, sadness at times, but, you know, also bittersweet. And those are all words that are just don't really go together in a way, but it was a lot of highlighted moments that, you know, that shows that. And, me thinking that I was going to get drafted the day before and, you know, being there with my whole family and, you know, just understanding, you know, watching that and not getting your name across, but have to understand that it's still another day and, you know, you're in a very blessed and fortunate position. So just enjoy the moment with your family. So, you know, the day two, I got to enjoy my day with my family I had not seen in months or years. So, then, you know, getting to the third day and then me getting drafted, it was a great moment just because we were able to all be there for it and have fun. And, you know, it's kind of a full circle because I went to high school kind of in the New York area. So it was like, you know, coming back to where it all started again.
Mm-hmm. If I remember right, there were only four running backs picked through the second day of the draft. It's tough for running backs now, as I know. I mean, I know you're aware, you know, I'm old enough to remember high first round picks at running back and nobody batted an eye, right? It was just sort of course, this is what you would do. But it's different now. And I guess maybe I'm asking you this, you know, for players at that position kind of have to settle for sort of a different draft evaluation maybe than it used to be.
Yeah. You know, I think for a lot of us running backs out there, it's just about just, you know, continuing to keep playing our game and we'll get scouted how we get scouted. You know, at the end of the day, it's a position I love to play. I've loved playing it my whole life, and I know a lot of guys who do play it love playing it too, and it's about just going out there and just playing our game and, and enjoying the process. And I think for us guys who were drafted in general, I think we were just all blessed to be drafted where we were at. Because like I said, there's a lot of guys who deserve to be drafted where we were at also.
One thing I liked for you, not knowing you, but just in terms of the Bills, is I think, you know, a lot of running backs, had they been the Bills pick, people would say that's a great landing spot. You know, you have James Cook, who had a fine season, but it's not like a super crowded room where you've got veterans or too many of these examples. There was an opportunity for you here. And, you know, some running backs even drafted in the same round as you, Ray, I would not say the same thing for. So how did you, does that sound right to you? How did you feel about the Bills as just the team part of it as a destination?
I was excited. You know, again, I think, like I said, for me, it was about really just being excited about being able to join a team who had so many great, great players. And I was just happy that I was able to get drafted to Buffalo. I think, again, having a quarterback like Josh and just the surrounding cast that he has and the line that we have, I was happy to know that, you know, they believed in me to come in there and hopefully make an impact someday. And that was something I really looked forward to. But at the same time, I was happy because, you know, you got to look at James. James is a phenomenal player. I mean, I got to watch James in college going against him when he was at Georgia and then kind of seeing it every day in practice. I'm like, dang, man, like that dude, I'm telling y'all, like he's so good. And I think I was happy to be able to sit in a room with him and just be able to watch each and every day. So when I knew that was an opportunity to get where he was at, it was all right, you know, let's go learn from him and go out there and showcase what I can do too.
And the big one, I mean, you'd know better, but it seems like a big one for rookies at that position is being able to hold up in pass pro, right? Like your coach has to be able to trust you on the field as a rookie. And there are a lot of, you know, good prospects that I think struggle in that. And then you wonder, well, why isn't this guy on the field? And that maybe is the answer. So I'm thinking you would say that's a pretty big area.
I was something I took pride in when I was in college. And I think a lot of us running backs know that something to be a three down back is very good. And to be able to not just run the ball, but be able to catch it and be able to pass protect, that's just what makes you a very lethal back. And there's a lot of people who can do it. And it's about just getting better at it. And I think that's something that I want to continue to do. And I know a lot of guys want to continue to do, just get better at pass protecting so no one ever has to come off the field and they can continue to make plays and to represent us running backs in the right way.
All right, Ray. Well, I mean, exciting times for you and for all the players and the rookies who are going to make this team. I hope you're getting a chance to enjoy yourself a little bit, get used to the area.
Yeah, definitely. I'm slowly getting there. I'm just making my way around town, as the song said.
Very good. Well, good luck to you, and thanks for giving us the time today.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Ray Davis, rookie running back, Temple to Vanderbilt, to Kentucky. Love hearing him talk about the education piece at Vanderbilt. And then Kentucky, why? I wanted to get my swagger back, he said. I mean, I always want to make sure that I say, and I think you would probably know this, but I'm not somebody that's like watching a lot of college football or really much at all. When the draft comes around, we get to the off season, I'll spend some time on players. But I liked everything I heard about Davis as an idea. I know he was somebody I brought up before the draft. You know, we had a thing with Bulldog where he was funny. He's like, all I want from the Bills at running back in this draft is somebody that I've never heard of. Not just even in the draft, but like free agency included. Just, I'm fine. If I've heard of you, maybe you're kind of a journeyman or something, and maybe you're, or maybe you're too rich of a draft pick. You know, I just want somebody that I don't know who he is. And I think, you know, we talked about Davis here and there, but he fits. He's one player where the operative word isn't speed. Like a lot of what the Bills did to their roster was obviously try to get faster. Not so much in terms of Davis. What they wanted, you know, among other things from Davis, is a compliment to Cook. And if he is, like we've talked about, reliable as a blocker and just, you know, just assignments, then I really wonder, it's one of the bigger questions I have about the season, is how much they'll use him. because there, I mean, Ty Johnson, but there isn't a Murray or a Damian Harris like last year where you would think, like, those guys are in the way. There's somebody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
More experienced that you're thinking again about reliability that would play over you. And it's interesting to me this year that the Bills never did that. There's never been a guy brought in, not, it could have been Murray himself, you know, some veteran that would be a part of the backfield, which I think says a lot about Davis. I mean, Cook, for his assets, is not somebody who, I mean, can really never come off the field. He's not big enough for every down. So you want to have somebody there in that role, and this is the plan. Davis as a rookie is the plan. In fantasy, you get to these points in drafts where there's like a half dozen or more like day three rookie running backs. The Jets even have two, Braylon Allen being one, Vidal with the Chargers, Irving with Tampa, Tyrone Tracy with the Giants. You know, you're trying to predict, well, what will they be asked to do? How much will they play? Will they make the team? Will they play at all? You know, these kind of questions. Davis is one where I think there might be the fewest questions. Of course, he's going to be on the roster because there's no one else that, you know, outranks him. No veterans were added. So, of course, he's on the team. And again, like with Braylon Allen with the Jets, we'll see. But he plays if Breece Hall gets hurt. You know, like when you have a guy that can play the every down role. The Bills don't. So, right the whole time, it's looked like to me that Davis was going to be significant, and I think we're still headed there. A big one will be goal line, because that the Bills have not used Cook in that role. They have Josh Allen to score from the six, you know, like over and over and over. But it's not been Cook. I mean, he had, what, two rushing touchdowns last year, and Allen had 15 going into the playoffs, where he had three more. I don't know if Cook scored a rushing touchdown in the playoffs. If he didn't, then Allen had more postseason rushing touchdowns than Cook had all year. Wow. So what do they plan on this in this way? And this gets us to the, you know, the question that we talk about every year, which is Allen and running, and how much, if at all, do they want to try to limit him? What we saw last year was they did try to limit him until they couldn't afford to anymore. And you see those 15 rushing touchdowns. I mean, most of them were in the second half. That's not, I think, any team's preferred scenario. And we talked about this. I talked about this earlier today with Dave Pasch about the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. I don't think you ideally want your quarterback having to carry, literally having to carry so much of that load. So priority for the Bills would seem to have been a compliment to Cook, who he can have on the field and give the ball to inside the 10 or inside the 5-yard line, short yardage. And that's what they think. I think they got in Davis. And it just feels like they're going to need him to play a role with what else has happened or not happened on the roster. And to do so, this would be an obvious area where he would. I don't think it's crazy at all. if Ray Davis out touchdowns Cook. I don't know that he'll get to a point where he sort of takes over. I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think it would be that surprising if he outscores Cook. And Cook had chances in the passing game too. That'll probably happen again. He dropped a few. So I don't know what Davis gives in that particular area. I'm sure something in as a receiver, but short yardage stuff, that seems more obvious, and I think we should look forward to it. Lines are open for your calls, 803-0550. Had a few earlier talking about just where we're all at going into the regular season. We made it through the preseason. Would love to talk to some more fans here as we go through the afternoon. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
May able to swing it out complete across the 25 to the 28 to Jamichael Hasty. I was trying to figure out that was a shoe that came flying out, and it was his shoe.
How
that came
good
out.
Is this guy? This guy's a living legend already.
Stop it.
NBC had Sunday Night Football last night, quote football, the Patriots and the Commanders. Now we wait until next Thursday, Ravens Chiefs in the season opener. Drake May in New England, I talked about this a little bit earlier. He has, you know, shown his talent, maybe even on that play where he loses his shoe, perhaps. But I don't know. Like, the coach seems like he kind of equivocates on this. Maybe he's learning how to talk about this without giving up all the answers. The Patriot way. It just has seemed all summer, talking to Mike Giardi a number of times, like they want to go slow with May. I don't know how slow, what they think is ideal. I think most teams, in most situations, they want it to be a few games. You know, Caleb Williams, undeniable. Why, you know, mess around? He'll play week one. Jaden Daniels, you know, other guys in other years. But, you know, thinking about Allen, what happened here, and a lot of other examples this year, we had, what, six quarterbacks in the first round. McCarthy, before he got hurt, was not going to play week one. Of course, Michael Penix in Atlanta is not. I think Nix is. It might have even already been announced. I think it was. Williams and Daniels. So it's going to be three out of six, unless May, which would be four rookies. How do you decide? You know, there's always a good back and forth on this. The biggest factor is what you think is best for the rookies, you know, overall. Whether it's his psyche, anything related to that, that's the biggest factor. It's not play the guy that gives you the best chance to win, right? We know it's not that. It's what May is the investment. Allen here was the investment. There's no more important person in the organization than these rookie quarterbacks, first-round picks. That's the most important thing. If they can't protect him and he looks better than Brissett, it's still Brissett. Because they just don't want to get him injured, of course, but I think psyched out, whatever it might be. I'm into him, though. I liked him over Daniels, for whatever that's worth, as the second overall pick. Daniels goes to, won the Heisman. Not like he's not a great prospect, too. But I liked May over him, and I think probably it's a good bet that the Patriots did well there, but maybe not right away. Maybe it's going to be a while before we sort of see the fruit. 803-0550. Speaking of quarterbacks, Malik Willis was traded. I brought this up earlier and also last week, with the Bills having some uncertainty, maybe more than we're assuming, I don't know, at backup quarterback. What should they do? Earlier, I got a call about it. My favorite idea was something like this. Willis or Trey Lance, if you can get them. I had no idea whether they would be traded, but there are multiple, at least with Tennessee, there were multiple backup quarterbacks. So he was certainly, you know, somebody was going to get squeezed there. And Lance is one of at least three in Dallas. Doesn't sound great. And he's played a lot in the preseason, so we'll see if that's a move coming up tomorrow. But that's my favorite kind of idea. You know, when you've got Allen, let's make it interesting at that position and bring in somebody who might be able to play even a role without an Allen injury. Like Justin Fields, I think probably should in Pittsburgh. I don't know if that's going to happen. Coaches don't seem to like to do that. They want, organizations want kind of what the Bills have done at that position, which is to play it safe. Not like Trubisky's super good, but experienced and has been here already before. Like the kinds of intangibles type stuff that they want from that position rather than a wild card. And if that's not the wrong way to put it, with Willis, who's going to Green Bay, or what Lance would be, you know, yes, you would potentially need them to not get you killed if they had to start games. And I don't know, is one better? Is Trubisky a better idea than like Lance would be, or that even Malik Willis would be? At least with the latter guys, you can maybe get creative with them. And also, I mean, the upside might be there. We haven't seen them, well, mostly struggle in the league. I mean, they've been neither guy's gotten really a chance yet. That's going to tell you something, but not everything. So I liked that idea for the Bills. I'm not sure if they were ever interested. I do think they were interested in Lance last year for a minute before he was traded to Dallas. Saw from our old friend Evan Abrams, is it the Action Network? I think, Evan, he was on our show weekly a few years back talking about spreads and all that kind of stuff. He tweeted that this, I know it's right, but it's just something to sort of wow when you read it or hear it, that the Jets have become the AFC East betting favorite, passing the Bills for whatever reason. You know, maybe Joe Ostrowski said this the other day, that there is it matters who the team is, what the market size is. You know, a so-called national team, there's just going to be more money bet on certain teams than others, no matter what the teams are or look like. And I don't know, did he say that the Jets sort of are that? New York City, Rodgers, they're easy to me to buy into. We've gone back and forth with Bulldog here all summer because he disagrees. But they have become the betting favorite. Evan Abrams tweeted that the Jets have not been the AFC East betting favorite since 2002. And that seems right. I mean, it's a long time ago. All those New England years, these recent Bills years, New England might have been the division favorite. I mean, they probably were every single one of those years until Brady left. Probably. I don't know. They probably were favored over the Bills the last year he was there, I would think. And probably it's the Bills ever since. But right now it's the Jets, making the Jets one of three teams to have not been favored in their division since at least 2002. The others go back longer, although I don't have the dates. Cleveland has not been the AFC North favorite. I don't know. Ever? Like going back to before they left Cleveland? I'm not sure they would have been after that. They were terrible when they returned. So I'm guessing that with the Browns, it goes back to like Kozar, since they've been favored in their division. And Washington is the third. Not since 2002. They might have been around, you know, those years. NFC East is tough for me to like remember very well, because they have this thing where every year for many years running, whoever won that division last year didn't repeat. And that would be Dallas now. But, you know, Dallas and Philly going back and forth, some years in there with the Giants. No team has won the NFC East twice in a row, I think at least that long, 20 plus years. So Washington, they're not the favorite this year either. Jets, Browns, Washington are the three that have not been favored in their divisions for so long. Man, I'm ready for the opener. It's still going to be a while here. We've got this weird week where there's no game, Labor Day weekend. At the same time, I want it, but I also want to just like relax a little bit. I'm sitting up here, edge of my seat. Like, I'm so excited for this season to get here and to be done with all kinds of the preseason stuff. Already you're seeing today, Malik Willis, some Denver news, teams trying to figure out ways to trade guys that they're otherwise planning to cut, using their media friends to help them, if that actually helps. Tomorrow's going to be noisy, and tonight maybe too. But then we get past that, and it's game on. these veterans, I mentioned this before Ray Davis came on, I think it was, like Tim Patrick in Denver, Samaje Perine in Denver, and there'll be more. Malik Willis was moved. Players that are probably not making their team. Some are surprising. Some are less surprising. Will the Bills dabble? You'd think that they would, of course, pay attention to it and, you know, maybe are ready to consider certain moves. Why wouldn't they? But that whole wide receiver topic, have they got to a point where they have what they want? MVS is hurt. Samuel is hurt. That might play into it, too. Maybe they'll be a Tim Patrick or somebody else to talk about. It seems like there should be. It's only been about 10 different players. Maybe that's really the number over the summer that have been brought in, or the Corey Davis report idea we had the one day. So the Bills have really been going hard after it for different guys at that position. Maybe they're not done yet. I don't know. Depending on who the guy is, I probably would support it. We'll see what happens tomorrow. 803-0550 for your calls. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Just remembered that I became a great uncle on Friday. Just looking through my notes. What did I want to mention? We had a couple of days off there. Oh, yeah. My niece had a baby girl. And this is one of the oldest things that I've ever experience, not to make it about me. It is definitely not about me, but just great uncle status. Wow. I mean, I made it. I made it to great uncle. I was thinking of, like, so what is, talking with friends and family, like, what is the most surreal aspect of that? You know, so I'm a great uncle. Okay. My sisters are great aunts. Okay. So Joe Kelly, who's my nephew, was here earlier today, and so now he's an uncle, and he's like, I don't know, 16, I don't know how old. Joe is a young guy, so he's Uncle Joe, right? How about when your parents are now great-grandparents? That's a weird one for me. It's their first time, and my grandfather is still alive in Florida, great-great-grandpa. That's big time. That's about as great as it gets. So, congratulations to, I'm sure she's listening, right? She just had a baby 3 days ago. Of course, she'd be just checking in on the Bills scene here. She might be, actually. But to her and her husband, cool things. Great uncle status. Great uncle achievement unleashed here. Unlocked, I should say. Kind of exciting. The preseason is over. Do we need a preseason? Sal was interesting on this. You know, what's always like the most important thing of the preseason is who got hurt. And Milano is the big name there. It was not on the field, though, in a game. It was at practice, and you're going to have practices if you don't have preseason games. He said it was uneven. That was Sal's word for it. You know, I don't think, not to put words in his mouth, you know, just sort of did he see what he wanted to see from enough guys, right? Like, Cook is somebody that I know at times during camp we talked about, you know, just sort of whether he's been consistent enough. It's only practices and, you know, these few games where the starters barely play anyway. But that's how it is now. And I wonder if by next year we see 18-2, if the league and the PA will just get right to that by next season. And one reason why I think, well, it just could happen anyway, but I've been waiting to hear or trying to find out what they're going to do next year with that extra game, the 17th game. There's a cycle based on what place you finished last year and what division you sort of aligned with. And this is year four. And I don't see anywhere like what is planned for next season. I haven't thought to ask Sal about that. He's somebody who might know. But even just go to schedule websites, the Bills on website, you don't see that extra game acknowledged. And so maybe next year there are going to be two and you'll play the same number of home games and road games like, you know, sort of a normal league would have you do. I mentioned Sal, have that coming up for you next hour. Also, first, Dave Pasch, my chat with him, the Arizona Cardinals play-by-play announcer and former colleague of mine at Syracuse. I mean, he was the voice of the Orange. I was there for 5 minutes, but fun memories, which I'll bring up as well with Dave. That's coming up after sports. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.